Aaron Carter's spent the last 25 years putting on events to help people take a break from the daily grind and to get outdoors in nature. He founded the event organiser Total Sport in 2000. Tens of thousands of people a year take part in its multi-sport and trail events. Aaron knows firsthand that feeling of being stuck. He struggled for a time himself with severe depression. A major part of his recovery was following his own organisation's prescription, getting active in the outdoors. The Total Sport team that he leads has been busy organising the upcoming Love Taupō Trail Festival, which kicks off on April 26th. The festival has a special focus on the link between mental well-being and outdoor activities. Aaron, good morning. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Morning, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. For those of us not so familiar, just explain what Total Sport is, the sorts of events it organises around the motu.
Yeah, sure, you did a good job in your intro there. Yeah, so we are all pretty clear on our sort of why these days, and it's really about trying to get like-minded people, but quite a variety of people into really beautiful natural locations around, in particular the North Island, to kind of connect with themselves and others and through being physically active in the outdoors. So we're very strong in the trail running space, so off-road running, and also mountain biking are kind of our two kind of key event offerings. And we sort of do events. We're actually on it halfway. I left Taupō this morning, a very rainy Taupō. We're heading to the Whangarei Heads now after this call to put on an event up there called the Wild Kiwi. It's as far north as we go, and these days as far south as the Central Plateau. So sort of events, 15 to 18 events a year, and then around that space, and yeah, in the North Island.
That's really impressive. There's a North Shore event I'm looking at. There's the Lake Taupō Trail Festival. There's the Mototapu Rangitoto Traverse. There's a series around Auckland. There's the Kinloch Off-Road Challenge. Plenty going on. Kate Kidnapper's trail run. What do they have? Yes. What do they have in common? Is it the setting that really is the difference between this and perhaps your average half marathon here, there, or anywhere? You're looking for inspirational green and blue settings.
For sure. Yeah. You've nailed it. It's all about. It all starts with the location, and I mean over the years. As we're sort of entering our 25th year, it's always kind of been about finding the spot and places where people, you know, want to go and do these kinds of things, and often being able to put an event on in places where maybe you can't ordinarily access those places. A good example there actually is the Mototapu Rangitoto Dual event, which you mentioned there, which is coming up in about a month. You know, that's the only time of the year you're allowed to ride a bike over on the island, for example. So we get people to places where, yeah, maybe they wouldn't get to, maybe they don't feel that they've got enough knowledge around the area to just go out and do their thing by themselves. So being able to kind of put together events and then just dump a whole lot of people in there, knowing that they're going to have a good experience, they're not going to get lost, they're going to be hanging around with other people that they, you know, their friends and family, and a lot of people meet at these events too. It's turned into quite a strong community over the years. But yeah, it really does start with the location.
Here's another one on the Central Plateau. I think this one might have just happened, the Chiel T42 46k mountain bike or e-bike adventure edition, 42.2k trail marathon run, all the way down to a 6.5k trail run or walk. That might be me at the moment. That must be a pretty impressive setting too.
That's amazing. Yeah, actually, that's the first Saturday of May. So it's not quite been.
Oh, I've got time to train.
And has always. you do, yeah. And yeah, I think that's the other kind of philosophy, and that is an amazing location for sure, and definitely that one is, I think, very attractive for people to kind of turn it into a weekend away. Like a lot of these events do become kind of, you know, the location-based ones where people actually make a commitment to get themselves away from wherever they're living and, you know, load the car up and then get away for the weekend and have a good time. One thing that you touched on there, which is actually really, really important too, is the variety of distances. So one of the key kind of cornerstone values and philosophies around the business as to whatever the event is, as to create event options that are kind of catered to the full spectrum of people, from, you know, elites or semi-elite athletes right through to you. We call them newbies in our business, people that have perhaps never actually ever done an event like this before, like trying to create a really happy, sort of safe, secure, inclusive place so that that person that hasn't done an event before can turn up, and they might be rubbing shoulders with someone that's done their 50 or doing their 50th marathon or more, and they still feel welcome. Like, that's, along with that location thing, that really is part of the magic as well.
Was it this way necessarily at the start? Let's go back to sort of 2000, I think. And it was interesting because you'd been involved already working with Sport Auckland, I think. You had some event management background. Mm. And then you just decided you were going to go out on your own and do this thing, right? I think you went to your boss and said, make me redundant. I want to start a business.
I did.
So what was the vision at that point? A younger man, in different times, what was the vision at that point for the business?
Yeah, I was 27 or 28 at the time, I think, and I was a pretty, kind of always a sporty guy, but really very much in the sort of traditional, back then, what were the traditional sports? So I was a pretty keen cricketer. That took up a lot of my time. You know, rugby and soccer and that kind of thing. And the time at Sport Auckland I kind of likened to an apprenticeship. So I kind of learnt a bit of the craft around event management there. And I just kind of felt, partly, I think my mum was in events too, so maybe there was a little bit of that in my blood. But I wanted to kind of do it for myself, and I sort of had this idea that I wanted to sort of create this business that, you know, came up with these ideas around getting people off the couch and doing these cool things. In all honesty, the book in me is probably not How Not to Start a Business. There wasn't a huge amount of forward planning in there. There was very little capital, but really just just an idea that, you know, perhaps people would want to kind of do these sorts of things. They weren't really happening a lot back then, sort of 20 plus years ago. You've always had the sort of traditional road-based marathons and that kind of thing, but this kind of whole off-road thing was just really starting to emerge back then. So that was the big attraction for me.
Well, no entrepreneur, it said, would ever start a business if they knew then what they know now. It's just part of the makeup. But also, 25 years is a significant milestone for any business. How do you make it work financially?
Oh, it's very hard. It's a really marginal business financially. It's all about the numbers. We kind of live and die by them. 80-something% of our revenue comes from people who make the decision to participate in these events and then pull out their credit card and enter. We get about 15-20% of our other revenue from either sort of council funding or commercial sponsors. And fortunately, over the years, we've managed to develop some really good relationships with some amazing organizations who get us. They are aligned with our values around seeing the benefits of people being outside, being active in nature and the outdoors. But again, had I maybe done a bit more sort of due diligence, who knows whether I would have started this business. But there's a whole bunch of other areas that kind of fill the cup, like being outside, you know, putting these events on for people, understanding over the years, and this is a massive one for me, and I think shared by all of the, you know, my colleagues at Total Sport, is being in that actually quite a privileged position of being able to put events on for people, knowing that they really, really love them and cherish them and that they make a difference to them. We do, you know, find ourselves in the fortunate position of hearing some stories, kind of what's below the iceberg for people at times. And you know, people are pretty honest and pretty raw sometimes when they talk to you about themselves and their lives and, you know, what they go through. And I think, you know, we all go through stuff. Adversity is kind of just part and parcel of life. But it's like, really genuinely, these kinds of things help people. You know, we've heard amazing stories around people that have, you know, replaced some addictions with others, alcohol and drugs to trail running. And, you know, and it's just really It's cool. You just get us this really have never, never, never lost that buzz around just being at an event, watching the, the smiles of joy and sometimes a bit of pain and suffering too, from the people that do the event. So that helps, I think, all of us in a pretty, in what's a pretty, not a particularly well-paid industry, but I think all of the people that work at Total Sport kind of share that kind of love of seeing, seeing people really enjoy themselves out there.
What is the common theme that comes through from people by means of feedback? For a start, one of the advantages is that when you are out exercising with someone, even if it's just walking with a mate or running with a mate, there's something about being side by side doing something that makes it easier to talk about stuff, isn't there? There's just something about that. I don't know what research has been done on it, but is that your experience that in the course of the event or in the course of training for the event, people find that activity beneficial in being able to talk?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, it's about the journey, and everyone kind of does these things their own way. I know a lot of people that really enjoy and almost sort of have to have that kind of accountability about training with other people, keeps them kind of keeps them there. And then I know other people, and I'm sort of actually include myself in this, where I actually get a lot of my sort of defrag kind of thinking time when I train alone. When I'm very, very happy to run with someone or mountain bike with someone, and I'm equally happy to go and do it myself. And I kind of get a different buzz depending on the combination. But yeah, there is something about being around. I think whether, and I sort of talk about this quite a bit, like where the magic happens is when you put all of these people from very different backgrounds and very different ages, it's quite a varied market. When you pop all of those people into an event and it's a lovely location, like where we're heading to from here in the Whangarei Heads is just, it's just a magical spot. Something happens. I don't know whether people just get stripped back a little bit and they just start to talk. And I think it's like that when you're with someone who's maybe shared the same sort of journey you've had in terms of just getting to the start line, that we all maybe just get a bit more honest and we're sort of open and we talk a bit more. But it is very cool. It's also very exhausting for an introvert like myself, who you'll spend the whole day chatting to people, and then you get these great stories, and I go home and I'm just absolutely exhausted. But I feel really, really privileged to be able to be in that position.
That is such an important observation. I was discussing this, I can't remember, in a recent interview. Extroverts seem to get their energy and they work through their issues talking things through with others. Introverts get exhausted by that sometimes. Introverts need that space inside their own heads. But these events, to your point, and training for these events offer both opportunities. What they also do is get you out of that daily, it's cruel to call it the daily grind when it's making kids' lunches and getting them to school and to dance and everything else, but it's a daily routine.
Oh, yeah.
Work for most of us is an important source of well-being, but it's also a routine. It's just that stepping outside into a different physical environment just seems to spark the neurons somehow, yeah?
Totally. Yeah. And we're really, really aware of that. And again, the fact that thousands of people a year choose to come and spend their very, very precious down or leisure time with us, like that is a responsibility that we take really seriously. So yeah, and all those things you mentioned there, the making the lunches, the taking the kids to dance,
The
it's
same
all
commute,
part of the stuff that we go through as
yeah.
adults, right? Yeah. And we we know that a lot of people that come and do these events, they sit in an office at a desk in front of a computer all day. So that's a big deal for to be able to kind of put something on for these people who they sort of come to us almost for a bit of an escape, I think.
Aaron, to what extent do you want to talk? I mentioned at the intro, like just about every human being on earth, that there's a time in life where you are just stuck at one end, and at the other end, it can become quite a serious mental health issue to be managed. It is a lovely touch in a way that part of you working through one of these times for you was recognizing what your own your own business could offer. And it's not the entire answer, right? There's no simple solution to life's really compounding heavy times. But it was an important part, wasn't it? To what extent are you happy to talk about it?
I'm really comfortable. I think have gone through three or four or five really big years. And as I kind of feel like I'm popping out the other side of a pretty traumatic time, I think my awareness around the importance of mental health and fitness is just a lot stronger than it was. And it seems that every other conversation I'm having, you're talking about someone that's struggling, or someone that knows someone that's just suicided, or all the stuff. And I don't know, I think I've sort of got to this point now, and I think it's really important. I think is ultimately what it's all about, is that I just think it's really important that we all acknowledge these things, and that we are as open as we feel we can be talking about this kind of stuff, because it's a big deal. It's just, there's just too much sadness and too much kind of tragedy going on. So if in any way I can share a bit of my story, then, you know, I'm happy to, because it's, you know, we're all dealing with stuff. That's for sure.
Things often come, and I don't know whether this is a time of life thing sometime, but things often come all at once. Parents die, marriages break down, business pressures hit. So many people dealt with all of that and more with COVID as well. But sometimes it's that compounding effect that can catch up even with people who think they're kind of, you know, high on the resilience scale, and indeed maybe high on the resilience scale. And it just blindsides you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of me, really. I've sort of read a lot and researched a lot, and I find it interesting. Like, one thing I've learned is that trauma sits there. And I was one of those people that I thought was, you know, doing well, and in some, you know, many ways was, I think. But it sits there in that compounding thing, you know. So I had things like, my mother died at age 50. I was just chatting to my colleague on the way up. I'm 52 in 2 weeks, and it still freaks me out that, you know, I'm older now than my mum was when she passed. My best friend from school got murdered in South Africa 25 years ago. Like, these things happened a long time ago, but they kind of sit there as these things that happen. And then more recently, and I think, you know, COVID is kind of a bit of a trigger for me. Like, we went into COVID almost, like, I think we went into our first lockdown almost 4 years ago. Like, it was right at the end of March in 2020. And I look back now, and I was, you know, in a sort of marriage that had sort of lost a lot of connection. And that was one pretty big deal, big thing that was going on. And then I sort of started really fearing for my business through COVID, because we were just literally shut down overnight. And so these things just started to kind of, compound. And then through that too, there was some, my poor sister lost her 13-year-old son to suicide. And all the things. I was I went to Dilworth. All my teachers were being arrested. You know, all this stuff. And then I can't kind of point to any single thing, but there was just kind of layer upon layer upon layer. And then I had a marriage separation about nearly 2.5 years ago, and that right there was the tipping point, I think, for me, as I look back now. And I went into what I know kind of now, as I understand a bit more, as some pretty, I think it was pretty serious depression. Like, I literally exited from work. I told my people, you know, the people working here, that I just wasn't available. I wasn't around. And I just didn't work for, I don't even know how long, maybe a year. And spent a lot of that time just sitting in my living room. And it's so bizarre to me now, because, and I stopped doing all these things that I love doing, like running and mountain biking and playing golf and being in the outdoors, and it all just kind of added up and kind of felt, you know, like a bit of a suffocation. And it was really, really difficult times. And at times it was really hard to see a way out of that, but eventually you sort of break through and you see the blue skies again, and you strap the shoes on and you go for a walk. And that's literally how it started for me, walking along the waterfront in Taupō, and just kind of getting back into sort of life.
One day
But
at a
yeah,
time.
but really, yeah,
It's
totally,
a
totally.
really interesting observation that early life traumas sit there, and it's funny at different stages of life. You can ignore them for quite a long time, or they're there, but that you just think there's no impact. But when you're running into trouble with something else, or when you're getting into a frame of mind, that there's no question they're there. We kind of have to constantly acknowledge the wounds we carry, don't we? And hopefully in a constructive way. But that was a heck of a load all coming at once. And you mentioned coming out the other side. It's never linear either, Aaron, is it? It's sometimes forward and back and forward and back. But to be back now in the business, back now exercising fully again. I suppose it has given you an appreciation of exactly what we were talking about at the start, the value in what you do to your own and to other people's mental health.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been such a bizarre. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy actually to look back and go, wow, all this stuff, many those years ago, this business that started with virtually no planning has become this really important thing for lots of people and myself included. And it's yeah, I don't you know, I sort of just smile every now and then and go, it's all quite bizarre how the world works, isn't it? But yeah, that's where we've got to. And you're right about the non-linear approach to wellness. It's just the way it goes. There's just no everyone's journey is different, isn't it?
Thank you for talking about it, because that is so important. It's important that people can identify when someone's got the courage to do that. It'll be the story of goodness knows how many people that you'll be away with on this next event. And isn't it good to have a business with a purpose? And now that purpose is even more evident, That's one of the good things in life. As you said, you might not be a billionaire, but it's one of the most important things in life, Aaron.
For sure. I mean, when I lacked the motivation to get up in the morning and go to work, that was just such a big deal for me. Like not having anything to kind of look forward to in the day was just, that was crushing. And yeah, to be able to kind of, get up and go, right, today's the day and we're going to do this and we've got an opportunity to kind of do these cool things. It's everything, and it's again one thing I think why we're really, really conscious of trying to put on these cool events for people who, because there's sadly a lot of people in jobs that they don't like, and we see a few of them and they tell us. So yeah, it does give it even more purpose.
Go well. Have a great event in Whangarei Heads, and I'm going to have a darn good look at that Central Plateau event. I'm a bit off the pace at the moment, but that's never an excuse, is it?
It's not, I mean, you'd be amazed the sort of people that come and do these events. They are all shapes and sizes. But yeah. So we'll be there for you when you're ready.
Thank you, Aaron. Go well. Aaron Carter, his business is Total Sport.